Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part one of Burned in the Furnace of Fire. This paper is found in the Studies menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Click the drop-down arrow to open the menu.
1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Prince, Yeshua, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Master Yeshua Christ. Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. Do you know how the world will end? Do you know what will happen when Yeshua Christ returns? Did you know that this world and last age will be consumed in a burning furnace of fire? In this study, you will see that those that rise up against Yahweh will be consumed by fire. Those that worship idols will be burned by fire. Those that seek to undermine Yahweh's decisions and plans will be burned by fire. The spoils of war, the precious metals, are purged by fire. Yahweh shows his great fire. His words come out of the fire. The wicked will perish at the presence of Yahweh by fire. The presence of Yahweh will burn up them that know not God. The law is and was given by fire. Following the law is your protection from the fire. Our works are tried by fire. We are tried by fire. The skies will be on fire, and the land will melt. Only once more will the heavens and the earth be shaken. The fiery end comes quickly as a thief in the night. When our King returns, this world will become a fiery furnace. Everything that is now is nothing but kindling. Everything will be consumed in the fire. All the verses in this study refer to, demonstrate, are symbolic of, and show just what will happen when Yeshua Messiah returns. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. In Hebrew it says, now the earth had become chaotic and empty. Form and void in the Hebrew are tohu and bohu. These mean chaotic and empty. That is, some early catastrophe had wrecked the earth, which was not without form and void before that. This was a judgment of God on earlier civilizations for their wickedness. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness, H2822, is defined as ignorance when used as a metaphor. 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Elohim the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved, unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. There is a time gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. During the time of verse 1 must be thought of in light of the lost city of Atlantis. 10,500 BC, Yahweh destroyed what became an evil earth by the asteroid Phaeton. It is evident that the angels had their chance to govern the earth. They evidently experimented with hybridization and corrupted the creation. The angels sinned, and Yahweh executed judgment, which is why the earth had become chaotic and empty. This is why God said,
"Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it."
Replenish means to fill again. Re is a prefix which denotes return, repetition, iteration.
Iteration means repetition, recital or performance a second time.
The earth was full, became corrupt, destroyed, and replenished again. A careful examination of the Hebrew words and meanings reveals that the scriptures are not about the beginning of the world. Rather, it's the beginning of the race of Adam and Eve and their descendants. As Genesis 5:1 states, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created." It must be understood that Genesis chapter 1 is the creation of the race of Adam. Just as the animal species were created male and female in pairs, so was the race of Adam created male and female. This Adamic race did not have the Spirit of Yahweh breathed into them. This happened in Genesis 2:7, when Yahweh took a male from the race of Adam and upgraded him with the Spirit and the DNA of Yahweh. Genesis 2:7, "And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The race of Adam was created in Genesis 1. The man Adam was born from above into the flesh and blood race of Adam in Genesis chapter 2. Eve was formed from the Adam with the Spirit upgrade. Now we have the first pair of an Adamic male and female with the Spirit. The history and family heritage of Adam and Eve begins from here on out. The Bible is the history book of the race of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve fell, they became mortal, and this test called life began for all Adam kind. All races did not come from Adam and Eve, or Noah and Naamah. Adam is defined in the Hebrew as H120, Adam, meaning ready, rosy, able to blush, to show blood in the face, and is described in Scripture as white, fair, comely, white as snow. This describes the white race. We know that Adam and Eve were banned from Eden because they sinned. But Yahweh's plan for them and their children after them did not end there. The purpose of the race of Adam with the Spirit was to have dominion, govern the world, and build the kingdom. Each patriarch of the sons of Adam would be a preacher of righteousness and carry on the management of the family of God. Each eldest son would become a preacher of righteousness in the office of the order of Melchizedek. Seth was the second in the order, then his son Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared was the sixth. Enoch is skipped because he was translated before his father Jared died, and Enoch's son Methuselah became the seventh preacher of righteousness. His son Lamech died before his father, so his son Noah was the eighth preacher of righteousness. Enoch 10:1. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One spake, and sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, and said to him,
Go to Noah, and tell him my name, hide yourself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole land will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole land, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world.
How did the world become so wicked again after a new beginning, after Yahweh destroyed the previously corrupted age? Well, Cain's Jewish kids, of course. Cain was not Adam and Eve's son. Cain is not listed in any of Adam's lineage or genealogical records. This is not a mistake, as Cain was not Adam's son. Cain was the offspring of Eve and the Nakash, the serpent in the garden, who was an adversary, an enchanter, a whisperer, a handsome devil emitting a false light, and deceived Eve into an unholy union which gave birth to the first Jew, Cain. As the children of the Wicked One, and being devils in the flesh, as Yeshua Christ exposed them as, these fallen angel offspring of the devil became preachers of unrighteousness. Their works are evil and wicked, against God, and as Genesis 3:15 states, enmity would be between the seed of the woman and the seed of the Nakash. This is evident throughout history as the children of Adam carried on the word of Yahweh, as the children of Cain perverted the word of Yahweh. Because of the influence and satanic ways of the devil's Jewish children, most of our people would be deceived by these damning heresies and false religions. The result is 33,000 denominations of Christianity. Our own people became preachers of unrighteousness, spreading the untempered mortar of lies. The sad thing is that our people don't even know they are Antichrist because they believe in a false Christianity that seems like Christianity, but is not Christianity. Jesus was not a Jew, and church doctrine is church doctrine, not scriptural doctrine. And the churches have been teaching our people 33,000 different gospels, all of which lead you to the ditch where you will await
the consuming fire of the last great day.
The false prophets and preachers will join the angels that sinned, the devil and his Jewish children, and those that supported the beast system in the lake of fire, which is the second death. False prophets and their punishment. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in destructive systems of philosophy, even denying the prince that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Prince Yeshua Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Peter 2:4. For if Elohim spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the society of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. The example shows that those who live ungodly will be burned in the furnace of fire. Genesis 9:8. And Elohim spake unto Noah, and to his sons with him, saying,
And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every living creature of the land with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every living creature of the land. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of the deluge. Neither shall there any more be a deluge to destroy the land. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a deluge to destroy all flesh.
The next time he will destroy with fire.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
We start in the book of Yashar, which means the upright. The call of Abram. Jasher 11:16. And Abram came to his father's house and saw 12 gods standing there in their temples. And the anger of Abram was kindled when he saw these images in his father's house. And Abram said, As Yahweh lives, these images shall not remain in my father's house. So shall Yahweh, who created me, do unto me, if in 3 days' time I do not break them all. And Abram went from them, and his anger burned within him. And Abram hastened, and went from the chamber to his father's outer court. And he found his father sitting in the court, and all his servants with him. And Abram came and sat before him. And Abram asked his father, saying, Father, tell me, where is God, who created heaven and earth, and all the sons of Adam upon earth, and who created you and me? And Terah answered his son Abram and said, Behold, those who created us are all with us in the house. And Abram said to his father, My lord, show them to me, I pray you. And Terah brought Abram into the chamber of the inner court. And Abram saw, and behold, the whole room was full of gods of wood and stone, 12 great images, and others less than they without number. And Terah said to his son, Behold, these are they which made all you see upon the earth, and which created me and you, and all mankind. And Terah bowed down to his gods. And he then went away from them, and Abram, his son, went away with him. And when Abram had gone from them, he went to his mother and sat before her. And he said to his mother, Behold, my father has shown me those who made heaven and earth, and all the sons of Adam. Now, therefore, hasten and fetch a kid from the flock, and make of it savory meat, that I may bring it to my father's gods as an offering for them to eat. Perhaps I may thereby become acceptable to them. And his mother did so, and she fetched a kid, and made savory meat thereof, and brought it to Abram. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother, and brought it before his father's gods. And he drew nigh to them that they might eat. And Terah, his father, did not know of it. And Abram saw on the day when he was sitting amongst them that they had no voice, no hearing, no motion, and not one of them could stretch forth his hand to eat. And Abram mocked them, and said, "Surely the savory meat that I prepared has not pleased them, or perhaps it was too little for them, and for that reason they would not eat. Therefore tomorrow I will prepare fresh savory meat, better and more plentiful than this, in order that I may see the result." And it was on the next day that Abram directed his mother concerning the savory meat. And his mother rose and fetched 3 fine kids from the flock, and she made of them some excellent savory meat, such as her son was fond of, and she gave it to her son Abram, and Terach his father did not know of it. And Abram took the savory meat from his mother, and brought it before his father's gods into the chamber. And he came nigh unto them that they might eat, and he placed it before them. And Abram sat before them all day, thinking perhaps they might eat. And Abram viewed them, and behold, they had neither voice nor hearing, nor did one of them stretch forth his hand to take the meat to eat. And in the evening of that day in that house Abram was clothed with the spirit of Elohim. And he called out and said, "Woe unto my father and this wicked generation, whose hearts are inclined to vanity, who serve these idols of wood and stone which can neither eat, smell, hear, nor speak, who have mouths without speech, eyes without sight, ears without hearing, hands without feeling, and legs which cannot move. Like them are those that made them, and that trust in them." And when Abram saw all these things, his anger was kindled against his father, and he hastened and took a hatchet in his hand, and came unto the chamber of the gods, and he broke all his father's gods. And when he had done breaking the images, he placed the hatchet in the hand of the great god which was there before them, and he went out. And Terach his father came home, for he had heard at the door the sound of the striking of the hatchet. So Terach came into the house to know what this was about. And Terach, having heard the noise of the hatchet in the room of the images, ran to the room to the images, and he met Abram going out. And Terach entered the room and found all the idols fallen down and broken, and the hatchet in the hand of the largest, which was not broken, and the savory meat which Abram his son had made was still before them. And when Terach saw this, his anger was greatly kindled, and he hastened and went from the room to Abram. And he found Abram his son still sitting in the house. And he said to him, "What is this work you have done to my gods?" And Abram answered Terach his father, and said, "Not so, my lord, for I brought savory meat before them, and when I came nigh to them with the meat that they might eat, they all at once stretched forth their hands to eat before the great one had put forth his hand to eat. And the large one saw their works that they did before him, and his anger was violently kindled against them. And he went and took the hatchet that was in the house, and came to them and broke them all. And behold, the hatchet is yet in his hand, as you see." And Terach's anger was kindled against his son Abram when he spoke this. And Terach said to Abram his son in his anger, "What is this tale that you have told? You speak lies to me. Is there in these gods spirit, soul, or power to do all you have told me? Are they not wood and stone, and have I not myself made them? And can you speak such lies, saying that the large god that was with them smote them? It is you that did place the hatchet in his hands, and then said he smote them all." And Abram answered his father and said to him, "And how can you then serve these idols in whom there is no power to do anything? Can those idols in which you trust deliver you? Can they hear your prayers when you call upon them? Can they deliver you from the hands of your enemies? Or will they fight your battles for you against your enemies, that you should serve wood and stone which can neither speak nor hear? And now, surely it is not good for you nor for the sons of Adam that are connected with you to do these things. Are you so silly, so foolish, or so short of understanding that you will serve wood and stone and do after this manner, and forget Yahweh Elohim, who made the sky and the land, and who created you in the land, and thereby bring a great evil upon your souls in this matter by serving stone and wood? Did not our fathers in days of old sin in this matter, and Yahweh Elohim of the universe brought the waters of the flood upon them and destroyed the whole land? And how can you continue to do this and serve gods of wood and stone, who cannot hear or speak or deliver you from oppression, thereby bringing down the anger of the Elohim of the universe upon you? Now therefore, my father, refrain from this, and bring not evil upon your soul and the souls of your household. And Abram hastened and sprang from before his father, and took the hatchet from his father's largest idol, with which Abram broke it, and ran away. And Terach, seeing all that Abram had done, hastened to go from his house. And he went to the king, and he came before Nimrod, and stood before him. And he bowed down to the king, and the king said, What do you want? And he said, I beseech you, my lord, to hear me. Now 50 years back a child was born to me, and thus has he done to my gods, and thus has he spoken. And now, therefore, my lord and king, send for him that he may come before you, and judge him according to the law, that we may be delivered from his evil. And the king sent 3 men of his servants, and they went and brought Abram before the king. And Nimrod and all his princes and servants were that day sitting before him, and Terach sat also before them. And the king said to Abram, What is this that you have done to your father and to his gods? And Abram answered the king in the words that he spoke to his father, and he said, The large God that was with them in the house did to them what you have heard. And the king said to Abram, Had they power to speak and eat and do as you have said? And Abram answered the king, saying, And if there be no power in them, why do you serve them and cause the sons of Adam to err through your follies? Do you imagine that they can deliver you or do anything small or great, that you should serve them? And why would you not sense the Elohim of the whole universe, who created you and in whose power it is to kill and keep alive? O foolish, simple, and ignorant king, woe unto you forever! I thought you would teach your servants the upright way, but you have not done this, but has filled the whole land with your sins and the sins of your people who have followed your ways. Do you not know, or have you not heard, that this evil which you do, our ancestors sinned therein in days of old? And the eternal Elohim brought the waters of the flood upon them, and destroyed them all, and also destroyed the whole land on their account? And will you and your people rise up now and do like unto this work, in order to bring down the anger of Yahweh Elohim of the universe, and to bring evil upon you and the whole land? Now therefore, put away this evil deed which you do, and serve the Elohim of the universe, as your soul is in his hands, and then it will be well with you. And if your wicked heart will not hearken to my words to cause you to forsake your evil ways, and to serve the eternal Elohim, then will you die in shame in the latter days, you, your people, and all who are connected with you, hearing your words or walking in your evil ways. And when Abram had ceased speaking before the king and princes, Abram lifted up his eyes to the heaven, and he said, Yahweh sees all the wicked, and he will judge them. And when the king heard the words of Abram, he ordered him to be put into prison, and Abram was 10 days in prison. And at the end of those days the king ordered that all the kings, princes, and governors of different provinces, and the sages should come before him. And they sat before him, and Abram was still in the house of confinement. And the king said to the princes and sages, Have you heard what Abram, the son of Terach, had done to his father? Thus has he done to him, and I ordered him to be brought before me, and thus has he spoken. His heart did not misgive him, neither did he stir in my presence, and behold, now he is confined in the prison. And therefore decide what judgment is due to this man who reviled the king, who spoke and did all the things that you heard. And they all answered the king, saying, The man who revileth the king should be hanged upon a tree. But having done all the things that he said, and having despised our gods, he must, therefore, be burned to death, for this is the law in this matter. If it pleases the king to do this, let him order his servants to kindle a fire both night and day in your brick furnace, and then we will cast this man into it. And the king did so. And he commanded his servants that they should prepare a fire for 3 days and 3 nights in the king's furnace, that is in Kestim. And the king ordered them to take Abram from the prison and bring him out to be burned. And all the king's servants, princes, lords, governors, and judges, and all the inhabitants of the land, about 900,000 men, stood opposite the furnace to see Abram. And all the women and little ones crowded upon the roofs and towers to see what was doing with Abram. And they all stood together at a distance, and there was not a man left that did not come on that day to behold the scene. And when Abram was come, the conjurers of the king and the sages saw Abram, and they cried out to the king, saying, Our sovereign lord, surely this is the man whom we know to have been the child at whose birth the great star swallowed the 4 stars, which we declared to the king now 50 years since. And behold, now his father has also transgressed your commands, and mocked you by bringing you another child, which you did kill. And when the king heard their words, he was exceedingly wroth, and he ordered Terach to be brought before him. And the king said, Have you heard what the conjurers have spoken? Now tell me truly, how did you? And if you shall speak truth, you shall be acquitted. And seeing that the king's anger was so much kindled, Terach said to the king, My lord and king, you have heard the truth, and what the sages have spoken is right. And the king said, How could you do this thing? To transgress my orders and give me a child that you did not beget, and to take value for him? And Terach answered the king, Because my tender feelings were excited for my son at that time, and I took a son of my handmaid and brought him to the king. And the king said, Who advised you to do this? Tell me, do not hide anything from me, and then you shall not die. And Terach was greatly terrified in the king's presence, and he said to the king, It was Haran, my eldest son, who advised me to do this. And Haran was in those days that Abram was born, 32 years old. But Haran did not advise his father to do anything, for Terach said this to the king in order to deliver his soul from the king, for he feared greatly. And the king said to Terach, Haran, your son, who advised you to do this, shall die through fire with Abram, for the sentence of death is upon him for having rebelled against the king's desire in doing this thing. And Haran at that time felt inclined to follow the ways of Abram, But he kept it within himself. And Haran said in his heart, Behold, now the king has seized Abram on account of these things which Abram did. And it shall come to pass that if Abram prevail over the king, I will follow him. But if the king prevail, I will go after the king. Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters. James 1:8, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And when Tarak had spoken this to the king concerning Haran his son, the king ordered Haran to be seized with Abram. And they brought them both, Abram and Haran his brother, to cast them into the fire. And all the inhabitants of the land, and the king's servants and princes, and all the women and little ones were there, standing that day over them. And the king's servants took Abram and his brother, and they stripped them of all their clothes excepting their lower garments which were upon them. And they bound their hands and feet with linen cords. And the servants of the king lifted them up and cast them both into the furnace. And Yahweh loved Abram, and he had compassion over him. And Yahweh came down and delivered Abram from the fire, and he was not burned. But all the cords which with they bound him were burned, while Abram remained and walked about in the fire. And Haran died when they had cast him into the fire, and he was burned to ashes, for his heart was not perfect with Yahweh. And those men who cast him into the fire, the flame of the fire spread over them, and they were burned, and 12 men of them died. And Abram walked in the midst of the fire 3 days and 3 nights, and all the servants of the king saw him walking in the fire, and they came and told the king, saying, Behold, we have seen Abram walking in the midst of the fire, and even the lower garments which were upon him were not burned, but the cord with which he was bound is burned. And when the king heard their words, his heart fainted, and he would not believe them. So he sent other faithful princes to see this matter, and they went and saw it, and told it to the king. And the king rose to go see it. And when he saw Abram walking to and fro in the midst of the fire, and he saw Haran's body burned, the king wondered greatly. And the king ordered Abram to be taken out of the fire. And his servants approached to take him out, and they could not, for the fire was round about, and the flame ascending toward them from the furnace. And the king's servants fled from it, and the king rebuked them, saying, Make haste, and bring Abram out of the fire, that you shall not die. And the servants of the king again approached to bring Abram out, and the flames came upon them and burned their faces, so that 8 of them died. And when the king saw that his servants could not approach the fire, lest they should be burned, the king called to Abram, O servant of the Elohim who is in heaven, go forth from the midst of the fire and come here before me. And Abram hearkened to the voice of the king, and he went forth from the fire and came and stood before the king. And when Abram came out, the king and all his servants saw Abram coming before the king with his lower garments upon him, for they were not burned, but the cord with which he was bound was burned. And the king said to Abram, How is it that you was not burned in the fire? And Abram said to the king, The Elohim of heaven and earth, in whom I trust, and who has all in his power, he delivered me from the fire into which you did cast me. And Haran, the brother of Abram, was burned to ashes, and they sought for his body, and they found it consumed. And Haran was 82 years old when he died in the fire of Kasdim. And the king, the princes and inhabitants of the land, seeing that Abram was delivered from the fire, they came and bowed down to Abram. And Abram said to them, Do not bow down to me, but bow down to the Elohim of the world who had made you, and serve him, and go in his ways, for it is he who delivered me from out of this fire. And it is he who created the souls and spirits of all men, and formed man in his mother's womb, and brought him forth into the world. And it is he who will deliver those who trust in him from all pain. And this thing seemed very wonderful in the eyes of the king and princes, that Abram was saved from the fire, and that Haran was burned. And the king gave Abram many presents, and he gave him his two head servants from the king's house. The name of one was Ani, and the name of the other was Eleazar. And all the kings, princes, and servants gave Abram many gifts of silver and gold and pearl, and the king and his princes sent him away, and he went in peace. And Abram went forth from the king in peace, and many of the king's servants followed him, and about 300 men joined him. And Abram returned on that day and went to his father's house, he and the men that followed him. And Abram served Yahweh his Elohim all the days of his life, and he walked in his ways and followed his law. And from that day forward, Abram inclined the hearts of the sons of Adam to serve Yahweh. Chapter 19 is about Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19:15. And when the morning arose, the messengers hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the iniquity of the city. Then Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of the sky. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. 3 Maccabees 2:5 It was you who did make the Sodomites, those workers of exceeding iniquity, men notorious for their vices, an example to after generations, when you did cover them with fire and brimstone. 2 Peter 2:6 And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Jude 1:7 Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Psalm 107:34 A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. We are living in a society today that is no different than Sodom and Gomorrah. Fornication, race mixing, homosexuality, transgenders, atheists, pagans, everything is wicked. Even the so-called Christians that attend the 33,000 denominations of churchianity that worship Jewish Jesus, eat pork, and are deceived by Jewish fables are wicked because they are ignorantly and unwittingly serving Satan. Every TV program, the movies, music, books, and magazines are filled with Jewish values and propaganda because they are all owned and run by Jews. If you haven't noticed yet, their fruits and their ways are always debaucherous abominations teaching unrighteousness, always doing the opposite of what Yahweh commands and says. This society and this wicked world will soon be overthrown by fire. Hebrews 12:29 For our God is a consuming fire. Exodus chapter 14 details the deliverance of the children of Israel from the Egyptians, the crossing of the Sea of Reeds, the Song of Moses, Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moshe and the children of Yisrael this song unto Yahweh, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. Revelation 15:3. And they sing the song of Moshe, the servant of Elohim, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Yahweh Elohim Almighty. Just and true are your ways, you King of saints. Psalm 106:12. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. Continuing, Exodus 15:2. Yahweh is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my Elohim, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. Psalm 118:14. Yahweh is my strength and song, and is become my preservation. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Continuing in Exodus 15:3. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. So much for the church's God of love. He is more than just love. Revelation 19:11. And I saw the sky opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Continuing, Exodus 15:4. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea of reeds. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Your right hand, O Yahweh, is become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed in pieces the hated enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency you have overthrown them that rose up against you. You sent forth your wrath, which consumed them as stubble. The Hebrew has burning wrath, consuming them as straw. Hebrews 12:29. For our Elohim is a consuming fire. So we see that Yahweh has burning anger towards those that are against him. The result is being consumed as stubble. Exodus 19:18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because Yahweh descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. The Golden Calf, Exodus 32:1. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aharon, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moshe, the man that brought us up out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what is become of him. The people, stuck in their pagan ways, have no patience and pressure Aharon into making an idol. Verse 2. And Aharon said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aharon. And he received them from their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be your gods, O Yisrael, which brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim. After witnessing all the wonderful works Yahweh did for them, they still wanted some kind of idol or god. Verse 5. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aharon made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. Aaron is the high priest, and he was part of all this wickedness, and he paid the price later on for it. Verse 6, And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Play is H6711, Tsa-kak, and has licentious and sexual overtones, as seen in verse 25. Idolatry always comes with sexual fornication, drunkenness, and lewd behavior. 1 Corinthians 10:7, Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Continuing, Exodus 32:7, And Yahweh said unto Moshe,
Go, get you down, for your people, which you brought out of the land of Mitzrayim, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said,
These be your gods, O Yisrael, which have brought you up out of the land of Mitzrayim.
And Yahweh said unto Moshe,
I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
2 Chronicles 30:8 Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve Yahweh your Elohim, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Exodus 32:10
Now therefore let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation.
Yahweh was going to start over with Moses and make his seed a great nation. Verse 11, And Moshe made supplication to Yahweh his Elohim and said, Yahweh, why does your anger burn against your people which you have brought forth out of the land of Mitzrayim with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Mitzrayim speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the land? Turn from your fierce anger, and change your mind of this harm against your people. Remember Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, your servants, to whom you swear by your own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the sky, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Exclusivity. Yahweh only has a relationship with his people, the race of Adam, not the other people in the world. Moses was reminding Yahweh of his oath. Verse 14, And Yahweh repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Repented means, in context, to change one's mind. Yahweh changes his mind about the impending destruction of the entire nation of Israel after Moses pleaded for his people. Moses had strong love for his people. Moses demonstrated the second great commandment.
Matthew 22:37-39.
Moses was a type and foreshadow of Christ. Would Yahweh have destroyed the children of Jacob and start over with Moses? Of course not. Yahweh will not break his promises and covenants with Israel. He was just making a point. That point was that he hates idolatry, and those that are idolaters will be consumed by fire. After Aaron and his sons did all the things in which Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses, Leviticus 9:7, and Moshe said unto Aharon, Go unto the altar, and offer your sin offering, and your burnt offering, and make an atonement for yourself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as Yahweh commanded. Verse 23. And the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the people, and there came out a fire from before Yahweh, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offerings and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted, and fell on their faces. Their sins were consumed by the fire of Yahweh. Note, it was Yahweh that lit this first fire. Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 10:1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aharon, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. Strange is zur, meaning strange to the law of Yahweh. Verse 2. And there went out fire from Yahweh, and devoured them, and they died before Yahweh. Verse 9 may tell the reason why they offered strange fire. Verse 8. And Yahweh spake unto Aharon, saying,
Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, you, nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean.
The context of the clean and unclean refer to the animals fit for sacrifice versus animals not fit for sacrifice. The evidence shows that Nadab and Abihu got drunk or did something stupid. Verse 11.
And that you may teach the children of Yisrael all the statutes which Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hand of Moshe.
Our God is a jealous God, and he does not want us worshiping a Jewish Jesus, the Lord, Baal, or any of the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity, because his son is not Jewish, his people are not Jews, and denominational churchianity is not Christianity, and is not teaching the word of Yahweh. They are teaching our people lies and propaganda that keep our people walking in darkness, in the ditch, and reserved for the burning furnace of hellfire. Everything Yahweh instructed Moses to teach the children of Yisrael was to keep them and to keep us from falling into the fire.